next case is 99-1855 and 99-1960, State of Ohio versus Christopher Moore.
Was there any evidence presented that would cast doubt upon what the officer smelled or didn't smell?
I cross-examined Sergeant Green, asked whether or not he could determine if the odor was a stale odor or a fresh odor. He said he could not. I asked Sergeant Green if he'd ever noticed the odor of marijuana before and had been unable to find marijuana, and he conceded that yes, there have been occasions when he had.
Did you go into the officer's qualifications for determining whether or not a smell was in fact marijuana?
I concede that the trial court, and I would concede before this court, that Sergeant Green is a highly trained and highly experienced officer with regard to marijuana detection.
So the evidence shows that he had experience, was knowledgeable in this area, and was really not contested as to his expertise as far as determining that when he smelled an odor, he knew it was marijuana.
I would concede that he was a trained and experienced officer in the detection of marijuana.
Thank you.
Would you agree with me that from reading the briefs submitted by the appellee, that it seems as if the trend in the country is to permit evidence of smelling only marijuana without some corroborating other evidence, that seems the trend seems to be to permit that evidence. Is that a correct reading of the brief, do you think, or not?
Mr. Chief Justice, I believe there were two searches involved in this case. The first was the search of my client's person, and the second was the search of the motor vehicle. And I think those are two distinct issues. With regard to the search of the motor vehicle, I would agree with the Chief Justice that the trend in the law among federal courts and other state courts is that odor alone is sufficient probable cause to search an automobile and fits into the automobile exception to the warrant requirement. I am asking this court to consider other things besides odor. I think that you need to have two other things besides the odor of burnt marijuana.
For the search of the person. You're focused on on the automobile, all right.
In addition to the odor, I think we need to have, as Justice Sweeney pointed out, an experienced and trained officer. I think the state concedes that in their brief.
Don't we have that here?
We do. The second thing that I think you should have is tangible evidence. I think you should have some tangible evidence of drug use. Either some physical object that the officer sees, admissions or statements by the passengers in the motor vehicle, visible smoke, physical characteristics of drug use, bloodshot eyes, slurred speech. And the reason we should have that, I believe, is twofold. One is to prevent mistaken invasions of privacy. Odor is ephemeral. It moves.
Do marijuana users get slurred speech or whatever?
They could. I believe those are some of the characteristics of drug use.
Only characteristics?
They can't.
I'd like to go back to the Chief Justice's question, because you distinguished, you said that the trend of in the country is to allow this, as to search of a vehicle. Is that trend the same as the search, when it applies to the search of a person?
I don't believe that the trend is as strong. The Attorney General, in its amicus brief, urged this court to accept basically a probable cause exception to the warrant requirement with regard to the person. Basically an automobile exception without the automobile. And I believe that the U.S. Supreme Court has addressed that on two occasions and has rejected that. Once was in 1948 with the United States versus D. Ray, where they rejected that proposition. And recently in 1999, Wyoming versus Houghton, where they made the distinction between the search of an automobile and the search of the passenger within that automobile.
Is that based on the expectation of privacy of one's person is higher than expectation of privacy in one's vehicle? Is that how they distinguish?
I believe the court was making that distinction, that the search of a person is a greater invasion of a person's privacy than searching the interior of the motor vehicle or their personal belongings inside of the motor vehicle.
You were going through the three steps and you were on step number two. Did they in fact find something in the ashtray?
That's correct. After Sergeant Green searched my client and found what he believed to be marijuana and paraphernalia on his person, he then proceeded to search my client's motor vehicle and did find what he believed to be marijuana and paraphernalia inside the ashtray.
But you seem to require a plain view of potential evidence. You can't find it in search. You have to smell it. See something in plain view. So you're trying to attach a plain view to the plain smell.
Well, if we're talking about the search of the automobile, or the person, with regard to the search of the person, which I think is a critical search here because he was searched first before the automobile was searched, I think the only possible exception that could apply to this case would be a corollary to plain view. The United States Supreme Court has not acknowledged the plain smell extension, but it has described for us plain view, and it has described for us plain field in Minnesota versus Dickerson. And within that doctrine, there are two requirements. One is the officer has to be lawfully present at the time that he observes the item. And in this case, we have that. Sergeant Green lawfully stopped my client for a minor misdemeanor, lawfully ordered him out of the vehicle pursuant to Pennsylvania versus Mims. So that first step is met. The second part of plain view, which should also apply to plain smell, is that the evidentiary nature of the item must be immediately apparent to the officer. Now, plain view and plain feel allow a seizure only. It does not permit a search. And I would concede in this case, because we have a highly trained and experienced officer, that the nature of the evidentiary item may have been immediately apparent to him because of the distinctive odor. The location of the item was not. He had to conduct a search in order to find the item. And because plain view and plain feel do not allow a search, the U.S. Supreme Court said you cannot manipulate, you cannot examine, you cannot search, you can only seize. Because this officer had to do a search, and because of that search found the item, he exceeded the scope of the plain view exception, and therefore the search was unlawful.
And the other argument is that unlike plain view and plain feel, there's nothing objective about the smell. So you have to go further. If you smell something about the person in the car, you have to go further to find the source of it. Where with plain view and plain feel, obviously you don't need to do that. What's your argument?
Well, I would agree that if you apply those two requirements to plain smell, it's a very restrictive exception to the warrant requirement. But those are the same two restrictions that the U.S. Supreme Court put on plain view. It's the same two restrictions they put on plain field. In plain field, they said, when you touch it, you got to know what it is. You can't manipulate it, you can't examine it. You have to immediately know what it is. And that's a pretty great restriction. And I think if we're going to be consistent with U.S. Supreme Court authority, I think we also have to place that same restriction on plain smell.
But
if we're going to make exceptions.
He immediately knows what it is. He just doesn't know where it's at.
That's exactly right, Your Honor. And because plain view, plain feel allows only a seizure, not a search, and the case law on that is clear, he has to also know exactly where it's located.
Well, what would you have him do if he smelled and was justified in the smell of marijuana? What would you have him do? To justify his intrusion, what would you have him do? Ignore what he smelled?
I would require the officer, whether Sergeant Green or another officer, to have something else besides the odor, not only to search.
What something else?
Well, tangible evidence. There could be physical objects. There could be innocuous objects.
Well, doesn't he have to go into the automobile to justify what he smelled?
Not necessarily, because those tangible objects could be inside the automobile. They could be visible on the person. They could be admissions or statements by the person or the passengers. It could be visible smoke.
Do they have to be open to plain view?
Outside the vehicle, they would have to be open to plain view if the objects were located inside the motor vehicle.
Is he justified in that if he smells a strong odor of marijuana on the person after he's outside the car, is he justified to search him?
It's my position that he is not. And that is looking at what exception to the warrant requirement. Again, the Fourth Amendment has a preference for warrants.
So what?
And I understand that the exceptions have...
What good is plain smell then?
Plain smell is the only possible exception that this search can fit into. If you look at all the exceptions to the warrant requirement that would justify Sergeant Green searching my client on the roadside, the only possible exception would be a plain smell extension to plain view.
He could then search the person who was outside the car.
Plain smell would only allow seizure of an item that was immediately apparent.
What if this officer Green, took your client and placed him in the police cruiser and then searched the vehicle, finding the marijuana cigarette in the ashtray? It would appear from your argument that he could do nothing more than seize that cigarette, that marijuana.
If Sergeant Green had decided to place my client back in his cruiser, first of all, I believe pursuant to this court's authority, he could afford a pat-down search. But assuming he found nothing, placed him in the back of the cruiser and searched the motor vehicle, again, assuming that odor is enough probable cause to search the motor vehicle, had he found the marijuana cigarette in the ashtray, at that point he'd have probable cause to arrest my client and he could search him as soon as the law for arrest.
So you admit that?
I would acknowledge that.
We have one case in the briefs, Mr. Wood, regarding the extra additional evidence being a dog alerting on an automobile, which the dog's trained and the officer's not. I mean, how are we going to think about that? Dogs alerting on smell and officers, you know, this officer being trained sufficiently in smell. Should we be thinking about the difference between using a dog alert as okay and not a human alert, so to speak?
That gets me to the second reason why I believe that we should require other tangible evidence besides odor to search an automobile. One is to prevent mistaken invasions of privacy. The second is to prevent overreaching by the state. And although most officers are good officers, there may be some officers who may use the fact, they may say, yes, I know it's an odor, for a pretext to search the vehicle or the occupants in the vehicle. We also have trial court judges who believe officers, no matter what they say, that they don't go through a credibility analysis, and therefore
the state's view is there's a probable cause basis to in this case. you, would you respond to that particularly? The state says it's enough that there's probable cause based on just on the smell, and you seem to say that's probable cause, that that's a distinction because it's the automobile inspecting the individual, not the automobile, under the automobile exception.
I think the odor alone is insufficient probable cause. You can say that it is sufficient. I think you have to have odor combined with other tangible evidence to support the probable cause to search the automobile without a warrant.
We appreciate your good work in the brief, Mr. Wood. You did a nice job. Thank you.
That's it. My light is on, so I reserve my final
thanks. Thank you, Mr. Wood. Mr. Trimmer.
May it please the court, Mr. Wood, Mr. Gorley. My intent here is just to speak for 7.5 minutes and reserve the remainder to Mr. Gorley. Mississippi Supreme Court Justice Lee stated in a case entitled Jimmy Ronald Miller versus State of Mississippi, a case that involved the exact same legal issue as the one before the court today. He said that the sense of smell was no less important or reliable than the sense of sight. It is elementary that under the plain view doctrine, the eye can do no wrong. And if contraband or an illegal object is seen, then the same may authorize a search of and seizure of the contraband.
What do you say, counsel, to the position taken here by the appellant that under the plain view exception, only a seizure is permitted and that plain smell by its nature necessitates a search?
Well, Mr. Wood was my right here, and I hope he'll be my right back, but I don't agree with this assessment. I don't believe that it's appropriate to have what he calls a plain smell corollary to the plain view doctrine. And the reason I don't, there are two criteria which Mr. Wood mentions. One is that the officer must be engaged in a permissible search or seizure at the time that the odor is observed. And secondly, that the incriminating nature of the object must be immediately apparent.
You agree that those are criteria under plain view.
That is absolutely
but you true. Don't want to import that to plain smell.
Yes, he incorporates plain view doctrine into the other doctrines, which I believe are completely separate and distinct doctrines on their face.
Do you think they are different under the plain feel?
Yes.
Or that's, I think, where Mr. Wood gets his analysis, is that
yes,
that's how the court got there on plain feel, was through plain view.
In contrast, I think that under plain view doctrine, let's say that an officer's doing a Terry stop at that, and he believes what he thinks is a gun in a defendant or driver's pocket. He doesn't know it's a gun. He doesn't know it's a gun. He doesn't know what it is. He has to pull the object out, which I believe constitutes a search in order to make a determination as to whether that item was a gun, whether it's contraband, or whether it's something completely innocent.
And so
I believe that a search does take place subsequent to the plain field doctrine being utilized.
Why then, I guess, would the court have said that one could not manipulate or, you know, it had to be immediately apparent? That does appear to suggest more of a plain view sort of thing that you can't manipulate.
But at the same time, Your Honor, if that object is something that is a gun, it cannot be suppressed if the officer legitimately believes it to be a gun.
Right.
And so, and just like plain smell in a car, the officer believes he smells the odor of marijuana. There may be no contraband in that car. It may be something perfectly legal. Chances are it's not. Odor of marijuana, of course, has a very unique smell.
If the officer tells the accused person, I feel something in your pocket that feels like a gun, please remove it for me, which would be not wise the officer to do, I suppose. But if the officer did that, could that be a search?
Probably not.
So if the officer actually putting his hand in the pocket or whatever and removing the gun, that is a search.
Actually, Your Honor, in hindsight, I do think that would constitute a search because there's a certain level of authority that the officer is using.
Is that the way the Supreme Court has defined search? That seems like a new theory to me. I haven't seen that heard before. It doesn't mean it's wrong, but I'm just curious. Where is that?
which
is that your creation, or does that come from a case someplace? That the removing of the object, and whether it's a packet of drugs or whatever from the person, that's a search. I didn't think that was a search.
I think that there's search elements involved in that act, but that's just my personal belief here. Yes, sir. And basically what I wanted to tell this court is that there's a case called State versus Casimir's Act, and Mr. Wood and I were not familiar with that case at the time we submitted our brief, however, Mr. Gordon certainly was. And it overrules the case entitled People versus Taylor in Michigan. And the Michigan Supreme Court in Casimir's Act not only overruled the Taylor decision, but it openly declared that the smell of marijuana alone by a person qualified to know the odor may establish probable cause to search a motor vehicle pursuant to the warrant requirement, or the motor vehicle exception to the warrant requirement, and thereby return Michigan to the majority view. And that's exactly what we're asking of this court, is to, on behalf of all the law enforcement officers in the state of Ohio, to also place Ohio within the majority view. I believe that by doing so, all of the officers in the state patrolling the streets will be fully equipped using their common sense training experience to locate and detect illicit drugs, the use of which are clearly prohibited within the laws of the state.
So are there any other items, contraband other than marijuana, for which officers are trained to detect by smell? Is this doctrine going to apply to them?
I have been prosecuting for 7 years, and from my experience, law enforcement officers are not as equipped to detect other types of drugs as they are with marijuana, and that's unfortunate. I know that opium used to be used a lot more than it is now, and I believe it's a U.S. Supreme Court decision which involved the stone. Some say that
what I'm asking is, should it be because the common sense that marijuana is something that is detectable that way. And it generally also is not associated with it may be easier for you to break the threshold of plain smell test here. Could we see some other case in which some form of contraband, in which there are severe penalties, is detected by virtue of a search where we have an officer saying, smell it?
Your Honor, I've never smelled crack cocaine, but I would assume that that has a unique odor as well. I would also venture to say that Sergeant Green, now Lieutenant Green, the State Highway Patrol, who obviously has a significant amount of training in the detection of the odor of various drugs, I would say that if he came before this court today, he would be able to say that several drugs do have a unique odor. And I think that the court has to look at each case specifically.
In your experience, in terms of preparing search warrants, has odor been the basis for the officers coming in and saying that I or someone else observed strong odor of something other than marijuana?
I believe the United States Supreme Court would have allowed a search warrant to be issued based on odor alone. I believe that was the Johnson case yesterday. That may be all that they have, but I think from a properly trained officer, that should stand as sufficient probable cause. Your Honor, I'm concerned about not giving enough time to...
But you want us to adopt for Ohio a plain smell exception?
Absolutely.
And if we did, we should call it that?
Yes, Your Honor. And if the court could go so far as to also cover the search of occupants within the motor vehicle, certainly this case is a little different than many of them because there's only one occupant in the vehicle. If there are multiple occupants...
But we wouldn't, in this case, we don't need to do that, do we?
That's
an extension of the facts in this case, certainly, which is another whole issue.
Anybody else you would like us to probe in while we're at it?
There you are. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Trimmer. Mr. Gorbally.
search of the car. I'm happy to answer any questions you have about that, but I thought I would devote a few minutes that I have to the more difficult question of the search of the driver in this case.
Based on plain smell.
Yes, I'm not enamored with adding new terms.
You didn't sound like that.
I think that current law is adequate to deal with this situation. The question is there probable cause to search the car? That's all you need. In the case of the car, and the automobile exception is always allowed officers who have probable cause to search a car to do so.
You think he could have gone directly to searching the car before he found anything on the person?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And that's what many of your sister courts in other states have said exactly. So,
but just based on plain smell. Because certainly if I'm stopped for running a red light, an officer doesn't have the right to search my trunk, does he or she?
Correct. Unless that is the place that the officer has probable cause to believe an object is concealed. And cases have said that.
Wait a minute. I'm stopped for running a red light, and the officer has a right, if the officer thinks that something's concealed in the trunk, to search the trunk? Did we just go through that with a jaywalking case? I spent a lot of time on that issue.
This obscure notion of thinking it's there, but if the officer had probable cause to believe an object is concealed in the car, he or she can look any place in the car where the object might be concealed.
How would there be probable cause if you just stopped for running a red light? Or let's make it even easier, a broken taillight.
Well, tying it to the situation here, if the odor were clearly coming from the trunk, in some of the cases that we've cited,
if you had a drug dog with you and the drug dog indicated that there's something in the trunk.
Exactly, and that's what some of the cases have found.
Are drug dogs more efficient at this than human beings, do we know?
I would imagine so. I haven't studied it, but I think it's generally accepted that dogs' sense of smell and sight is stronger than ours. The concept is no different.
No, that's right.
Justice Cook asked, the principle is the same. You have probable cause to search, and no doubt in a suppression hearing or at a trial, defense counsel would be free to challenge the qualifications of the officer or the abilities of the dog, but the principle is the same, that if the smell gives you probable cause to believe that there's a contraband
in your limited car. In your limited time, I would like to hear you address the issue of searching the person.
Okay.
As it occurred in this particular case, the officer smells a strong odor of marijuana. How does he have the right to search this person?
Well, I want to emphasize the limited nature of the search in this case, and I think the rarity with which this is going to come up, because I would imagine in most cases, if you have someone driving down the road who's smoking marijuana, many officers are going to determine that the driver in that situation is impaired and is going to impound the vehicle and arrest the person. You aren't going to have the questionable search that we're debating here. And also, certainly if the officer conducts the kind of probable cause search of the vehicle that we think this court should allow, as most other state Supreme Courts have allowed, and the officer finds a significant amount of drugs, obviously you're again going to have an arrest, an impoundment, and then a search incident to an arrest. And so I think it's a very limited situation. But here, where the officer had probable cause to search, and I think we can agree on that, the smell was on the person's clothing, and so it's the same rationale that supports the search of the car. The nose told the officer there are drugs in this car, just as his nose told him there are drugs on this person. And where you have the exigent circumstance of the drugs likely to be destroyed before the officer is able to find the contraband. Because remember,
Do you need the exigent circumstance, Mr. Gormley? I mean, do we need to go to that for the probable cause, or?
I think you do, Your Honor. I'm not comfortable telling you that officers, whenever they have probable cause, can search a person. I think you do need something more for was obviously they had a warrant based upon the mere probable cause the search would be fine. But here, a warrant wasn't a practical option. And the officer rationally concluded that this driver is going to easily toss these drugs under the car into the ditch. It's 9 o'clock at night in February. The officer's by himself. If he climbs into the car to conduct the search of the car that I think most of us would agree he was allowed to conduct, clearly this man is going to be able to ditch those drugs when the officer looks into the car. So there's no way for the officer to preserve that contraband, something this man was not allowed to have, without conducting the kind of search that he did here. But it's a situation I think is rare, confined to this type of situation. If there had been another officer with him, I might feel differently. If it were easy to secure a warrant in the daytime, right in the middle of downtown Lancaster, I might feel differently. But I think in this limited situation, with the exigency that we have here, the search of the person is proper, and other courts and other states have said as much.
Did the Court of Appeals specifically limit what they were deciding to the search of the vehicle?
Seems to be all that court addressed. I don't want to criticize them, but I think the meatier issue, the tougher issue, is the search of the person here, and it doesn't seem to have been something that caught the Court of Appeals' attention, but we thought it was important and addressed it.
Because the Court of Appeals, I think, just said that relying on your sense of smell as it pertains to the establishment of probable cause for a warrantless search of a motor vehicle. So, do we even get into the search of the person?
It's an issue that I think the defendant has appropriately brought up, and I don't think it would be improper for this court to address it, given that it was in play in front of the trial court. So I don't think it's right to just automatically analyze them the same way, because we acknowledge searches of persons are more troublesome than searches of vehicles.
You have obviously read these cases in connection with all of the 11th District. In the Haynes case, said in part, although we do not go so far as to say that the odor of marijuana standing alone provides probable cause, we do concur with those cases holding the odor of marijuana taken in combination with additional articulable facts is sufficient to establish probable cause. Do you subscribe to that standard?
No, we don't think there's any additional need to gather evidence, as Justice Sweeney has noted in his questioning. It's very difficult for an officer to get that additional information. And it doesn't make sense for an officer who thinks there's contraband inside a car to just walk away because he can't see inside. The automobile exception has long since resolved that situation when an officer has probable cause to think that there's evidence of a crime or some contraband in a car that's movable. The officer is allowed to search without anything.
But wouldn't that be the additional articulable facts they're talking about? See, if we just, the reason I'm pressing you on is because you're really asking us to draw a bright line. And if we draw a bright line saying smell of marijuana coming from a car authorizes search of a vehicle, period.
It does, assuming the officer.
That's what you want us to do.
Yes.
So the probable cause, you say that in and of itself establishes a probable cause.
Absolutely, and that's what almost every other state Supreme Court has said, and almost all the Federal Circuit Courts of Appeals have said. They haven't looked for any additional factor before allowing officers to search. Now, as I say, the defendants are free to challenge the perceptions of the officer, his ability to distinguish marijuana generally from other odors, but assuming that the government can make that case,
okay.
That's
I've got it.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Gormley. Mr. Wood, you stayed about a minute of your time.
Thank you. Justice Douglas, I share your concern. I read the Court of Appeals decision, and you are correct that they limited their, they framed the issue, they framed the facts, they acknowledged the search of the person before the vehicle, mm-hmm. And yet they went right to the vehicle and justified the entire search based on that. But it was an issue that was raised at the trial court, and I believe it's an issue that's proper. Court. In fact, I think it's the most critical issue in this case, is the search of the person or the vehicle.
Did you say if they can never search the person, they can't get to the vehicle?
That's correct. If in fact probable cause to search the motor vehicle does not fit into the automobile exception. I think what's important to emphasize is that there is still a preference under our constitutions for a warrant. And there are exceptions to that. And although the exceptions have somewhat swallowed up that warrant requirement, I believe we still have to justify search of my client underneath one of those exceptions.
Isn't the odor on the person and in the car? Why do we take exception to the search of the car?
The exception is the search of the person,
based on
odor alone.
Okay.
So with regard to the motor vehicle, if that's what we're talking about again,
right.
Again, the exception is to the odor alone, and it's for the reasons I've stated. Number one, odors are ephemeral, they attach, they drift, they can remain in places for long periods of time.
So you're saying that you can't search both on odor alone?
That's correct. I would submit that odor is insufficient in and of itself, probable cause to search an automobile. And I would submit that you must have something else.
So you can search the person.
You cannot search the person. Unless you fit it under the only exception I think applies would be the plain smell extension, the plain view, when you meet those two requirements. And again, it permits only a seizure and not search.
Okay.
I want to make sure, I think maybe it's the same question. I don't want to make sure I understood your response to Justice Douglas' question. Did you say that there has to be a search of the person before? The only way the search could occur of the car was by a search of the person first? Was that, that's what occurred here, but as a rule, are you suggesting that should be the rule?
I think so. I think you'd be
what
able to search the person and the car
saying is if this court accepts that odor alone is sufficient probable cause to search a motor vehicle, sergeant could have searched the motor vehicle first.
Sure, okay.
Having found the items inside the motor vehicle, you arrested my client and searched him instant to a lawful arrest. That could have happened. And that's why I'm asking the court to reverse the court of appeal and reinstate the stop.
Thank you, Mr. Woods. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion. We'll take a brief recess.